since becoming a mom, there are so many "why didn't anyone warn me about this part" moments. But what happens when someone who spent her entire career preparing other women for birth becomes a mom herself and still feels totally unprepared? In this raw and refreshing, honest conversation, I sit down with Dr. Sarah Reardon, aka the Vagina Whisperer, to talk about what really happens behind closed doors in those early weeks of motherhood. From pelvic floors to postpartum poop stories, yep, we go there. Sarah shares the messy, beautiful, and totally unexpected moments that shaped her journey. Welcome to Mom's Guide to Finding Herself, where we share stories of side hustles and surviving while parenting young children. I'm your host, Chrissy Bold. Let's make motherhood less lonely and help you find joy in being you again. If you've ever found yourself alone with a newborn, wondering how are you supposed to do this with your body still bleeding and zero support, you are not broken. You're just in the thick of it. And even the people who should be prepared aren't always ready for what motherhood throws at them. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Sarah Reardon, a board-certified pelvic floor physical therapist, mom of two boys ages 8 and 10, and the founder of The V-Hive, an online platform supporting women through pregnancy, postpartum, and beyond. You might know her as The Vagina Whisperer on Instagram, and she has a new book coming out on June 10th called Floored, A Woman's Guide to Pelvic Floor Health at Every Age and Stage. But today, we're talking about her own journey into motherhood and all those "no one told me about this part" moments, starting with her very first bathroom trip in the hospital. If you've ever felt like you're doing it wrong, you're about to feel a whole lot less alone. Sarah, thank you so much for being here with me today.
So excited to be here. Thanks, Chrissy.
I've been following you since I had my first baby. He's 4 now, so I think you had just started your V-Hive then. Like, it was right around that time.
I did. Yes. Wow. Yep. That was post-COVID.
So I was one of your founding members in there. It's just such a huge resource for moms. So thank you for all of the work that you do to help moms on their pelvic floor journey.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And that means a ton. You were a founding member. I remember that was 2021. And yeah, I mean, the V-Hive has grown so much. I think social media has really, you know, helped share more about pelvic health so much. So I'm just really excited to be here and chat about all things, you know, motherhood and vaginas.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, today we are going to focus on you and maybe your vagina or maybe not. Up to you, however much you want to share. But you have an 8 and a 10-year-old. So let's fast forward like 11 years or maybe even more and talk about who you were before you became a mom.
You know, I think that before I became a mom, I was a pelvic floor therapist. I've been practicing in this field for 18 years. I met my husband on Match.com back when Match.com was like still an internet site and the apps didn't exist. Yeah. And I was really kind of finding myself still, kind of figuring out how to be kind of independent in my career, but also, you know, navigate, you know, having a what felt like a later in life marriage, which I was, you know, 30 and he was 37. But many of our friends had been married for years and already had kids. And then, but just really also really passionate about pelvic floor health and working in a hospital in Dallas. So, you know, so much has transpired since then. But yeah, kind of just your standard 30-year-old career woman at that time.
Love that. Now, how did you decide you wanted to become a pelvic floor therapist? I mean, I was going to ask, did you always know you wanted to do this? But probably not.
You know, it's interesting. I actually always knew I wanted to be a physical therapist. So okay. I applied to colleges at the age of 17, and I applied to ones that had really good physical therapy schools then because I said, I know I want to be in medicine, but I don't want to be a physician and go to school for a long time. I don't want to be a nurse, but I want to do something really kind of active. And at the time, I ran track and did swimming and kind of was just an exerciser. So I thought this feels really good. And I went to WashU in St. Louis and then also stayed there for graduate school. So I was there for 7 years, got my doctorate in physical therapy. And when I was there, a professor of mine, who's still my mentor to this day, over 20 years later, she gave us like a 2-week lecture on pelvic floor health. And I thought, oh, this is really interesting. I've never heard of these muscles.
Right.
But I mean, as a woman, it was really incredible to understand my own body. Yeah. And then when I did a clinical rotation, ended at the hospital at the University of Ann Arbor in Michigan, I was like, this is amazing to help other women understand their bodies. And so I jumped right into it when I graduated from PT school at, I think I was 25.
Wow. That's incredible. And now, I'm, you know, fairly new to the pelvic health world because I feel like you only totally know about it when it becomes an issue, really,
correct.
One way or another. But it seems even still that it's a fairly new realm of physical therapy. Is that the case? Or was it totally where it is now 18
you know,
years ago?
It's really not the case. So, I mean, I practiced 18 years. And before this, it was really called women's health physical therapy or obstetric physical therapy. So it's much more focused on pregnancy and birth. But then we realized that a lot of these issues can be experienced in women who've never given birth.
Yeah.
And then also some of the issues can last later into life, into perimenopause and menopause and with aging. And so really at every stage of a woman's life, it can affect them. But I would say it's really social media that started spreading more awareness about pelvic floor therapy and the role it can play in pregnancy and postpartum and with, you know, pelvic floor issues like urinary leakage or painful sex. And so I really credit social media to just opening up these conversations and making this type of therapy much more accessible and helping people be aware that it exists to help their problems.
Wow. So it's one of those things that it was always there. We just didn't know it was there.
Right.
We didn't know it existed. So that's so cool. So you were doing your thing, being a physical therapist, getting married, and then all of a sudden you had a couple of kids. Did you always know you wanted to be a mom?
100%. And I always knew that I wanted to be a mom. And I even told my husband, like, on my Match.com profile, you know, you check your boxes. And I said, that was a deal breaker for me. Like, I knew that I wanted to be a mom. And I said, even if I didn't find a partner, I would eventually kind of find a way to be a mom. So that was important to me. And fortunately, you know, I was 30 at the time I got married. And my husband said, I want to wait a year to just be married. And then so we did that. And then right after we got that year passed, we started trying. We were really fortunate to be able to not have to, you know, have a long fertility journey or anything like that. And we had both of our kids pretty close together, 22 months apart when I was 32 and 34. And then I wanted a third. And he was like, I don't know if that's in the cards for me. I'm kind of maxed out. And so as my kids have gotten older, that has really settled. And I feel really happy with the two kids that we have. I feel so fortunate. And that kind of grief of not having a bigger family has gotten smaller and smaller over time.
Wow. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I was the opposite end of the spectrum. My dating profile and my husband's dating profile both said, we do not want kids. But then we met the right person and it just, we said, you know what, we could do this together. And I think this is something we'll regret not doing. And we have two very wanted children and we're very happy with that.
That's incredible, though, that you all both thought no. And then it became... Yeah, we do want kids. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Right. It's just funny how life works like that. You're just not really sure where it's going to go. And then sometimes it does go the way you want. But either way, after you have those babies, your life changes in ways you never expected and the ways you couldn't prepare for. So how was your transition?
Hard. I mean, I think that I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think two things happened during that time was one, I, as a pelvic floor therapist, prepared so much for my birth. I mean, I had a doula and I did the classes and I did the hypnobirthing and I ended up having an unmedicated birth. It was a really smooth experience and a really easy kind of postpartum recovery, all things considered. But I struggled with breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And during that time, I think there wasn't this fire hose of parenting advice coming at you. There wasn't social media. So I mean, I would just be kind of grappling in the middle of the night, like, what do I do? And kind of going down rabbit holes on the internet of like how to breastfeed. I just didn't know what I didn't know. So that was much more of a struggle for me. But it was also a time that people were posting photos on social media that were picture perfect. Like authenticity did not exist. So when my baby was 1 week old, I remember my twin sister called who had a kiddo that was 10 months older than mine. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like still, you know, exhausted and trying to pump and my vagina's bleeding. And I was like, oh, I'm baking a cake. And she's like, why? And I said, oh, because I want to take a picture of like the baby with a cake and a one in it. So because he's 1 week old. And she was like, stop right now.
Right.
That's ridiculous. Like she's like, you need to be resting. Sit down, turn off the oven and just relax.
Yeah.
And I was so consumed with like making it look good for everyone. Yeah. Instead of just like going through it, that I was like, you know what? What am I doing? And so that just kind of took some of the pressure off to make everything look so easy and perfect. And, you know, shortly after that, I started my social media account when I was pregnant with my second son. And it was like, I didn't try to make it look perfect. I was like, this sucks.
And
that felt much more manageable for me to share the realities of it versus kind of trying to create what we used to call like the Pinterest mom look back then.
Yes. It is wild how much things have changed. I totally agree with you, but that pressure, I think, is always going to be there. I can totally relate to that first week where you have this like sense of urgency. Like, this only lasts so long. I have to do it all. We need these newborn photos. We need all of these things that are going to go away within a matter of hours. And it's just so all-consuming, and you don't give yourself that time to rest. And as you well know, our bodies need it desperately. So tell me about your healing process. I know that you have a very interesting story about your first poop.
Right.
I would love to hear that.
It's always a doozy, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that people don't tell you is like, take the stool softeners after giving birth. And so a lot of what I try to share in there is education I've learned from my own experiences or from other moms that I've worked with as patients. But I'm like, you know, my birth went fine, but I remember sitting on the toilet in the hospital. My feet were on a trash can because I like wanted to try to elevate my feet because I'm pretty petite and I couldn't touch the ground. And I remember just feeling like, oh, my God, there's a baseball that's about to come out of my butt right now, you know. And I was so constipated because of I was taking ibuprofen and I was dehydrated because they tell you not to drink. And I had been in the hospital for a long time. And I was like, what is going on? And so knowing my pelvic floor therapy skills, I did what I call support the perineum, and you hold up your vagina while you kind of bear down to poop. And I remember being like, there's literally a baseball sized poop coming out of my butt right now. And it did. It came out. But it was like, this could be as bad as birth if I didn't know how to do this, you know? And so every time I share a reel or a blog post or I wrote about this in my book, I was like, I always get moms that are like, thank you so much. I went back to that when I was in the hospital and I used your tips and I was so scared and it made it so much easier. But these are the things that we really struggle with behind closed doors and in bathrooms that people don't know about. But yet there are such kind of easy solutions to help make it easier for women.
It's so powerful that you share these stories because nobody does. Nobody talks about those things. And all you need is that one story in your brain because it's going to live there. Like you hear that one story about somebody's poop and you're going to remember it. And then when you need it, it's going to come out of the fold. So it's good to have that in there and just living and waiting because you don't know what you don't know until you're doing it. And I'm sure that was the case for you too. Now, do you look back and think like, ooh, I should have been kinder to my patients, or I really didn't understand exactly what they meant when they were saying they were in so much pain? Did you have any moments like that?
100%. I remember thinking when I was even just during pregnancy, not even postpartum and kind of postbirth, but during pregnancy, I was like, oh my gosh, for 10 years, I've been telling all of these pregnant moms of do these 30 minutes of exercise every day. And I'm like, I can barely get out of my car right now. I can barely walk up a flight of stairs. I'm so tired.
Yeah.
That's a joke. And so I apologize to all the moms who I gave like overprescribed exercises because you're just, you know, I'm like, you know what you need to do during pregnancy? Just walk. Walk. Yeah. Like just, you know, if there's anything you do, just walk. Because, you know, it is a hugely physically taxing job. Yeah. And I'm like, you're creating a baby and you have, you know, much more blood flow and kind of changes and fluctuations in hormones. And you have tons of progesterone that makes you exhausted. So I just think I didn't appreciate how challenging pregnancy was until I was pregnant.
Right. I totally understand what you're saying. Yeah. And it changes the kind of advice that you're going to give and the kinds of, like, your expertise only goes so far. And what you said with walking, you remember your first poop. I remember my first walk after having a baby. I was walking down the street as slowly as possible. I don't even, like, I probably should have gone slower. And seeing my neighbors and just like being like, I can't even move because if I move right now, I'm going to pee right here.
Yeah.
Like I had absolutely no control left right at that moment. It was just so early on. But the power of having a baby and seeing your neighbors and seeing everybody come together, it almost makes you like a closer bond, almost like family. And I think you have a really interesting story about one of your neighbors, too.
Yeah, so it's really interesting because I think one of when you mentioned earlier, like what surprised you about motherhood, outside of kind of it being totally exhausting, and I had to keep telling myself, like, okay, every other mother who's given birth has been through this, like, you can do it, Sarah, was how meaningful having mom friends was. And I lived on a street where there were two women who had babies kind of a couple months before me. And they were just angels. I mean, it was just, they texted me when I didn't even know I needed somebody to text me. And I remember one of them, she's still a dear friend to this day, even though we don't live in the same city, but I was really struggling with breastfeeding. And she's like, have you tried a nipple shield? And I was like, no, I haven't yet. And she's like, well, I'm going to come drop mine off. She's like, it's had my nipple in it, but like, you can use it. And I was like, okay, you know, but I was like, okay, we've met five times, but now I'm using your nipple shield, you know, but it was, it's one of those things where I think in motherhood, you create these crews or these bonds with people. At least I've been so fortunate enough to have that. And they really, like, they get it in a way that my partner doesn't get it, or my parents don't get it, or my employers don't get it, where I'm like, okay, you get it. And sometimes you know what I need before I even know that I need it. And that was one instance of that. And I, those early friends that I had when I had my first baby, we still have such a strong bond 10 years later. And, you know, I've moved and I have an amazing group of mom friends in New Orleans here, but it is a really kind of special camaraderie that you have.
Especially if you're lucky enough to find people that are having kids just ahead of you. Not even a year, because you do forget how quickly, like, it's unbelievable the things that you do quickly forget. And I get it now. Like, now that I'm 2 years out from my last one, I get how people have forgotten the pain and the trauma that you go through to a point, like all of the issues.
And the exhaustion, you know, and I think you just kind of move on to different struggles. I mean, I think the toddler years were different and the school years are different. And now, like, one of my kids is about to hit puberty and that's different. But the challenges are definitely different, but they're still there.
Right.
And I think that we do forget, which is why we go back and have more kids, you know, because it's not so bad.
Right. It's the only way to get through some of that for sure. Now, I want to hear about your relationship, how that changed after you had your kids.
You know, it was hard. And so my husband and I had been together for just over 2 years when we had our first son. And he actually at the time traveled for work. And so he was gone. He had 2 weeks off, which was like generous paternity leave for that time, which is totally bananas.
Right.
And after 2 weeks, he was back to traveling. And he traveled Monday through Thursday and was gone. So I was home with a two-week-old baby. I didn't live in a city with my family. And, you know, just I felt totally lost and almost scared. Like, I remember him leaving and I was thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, how am I gonna do this? And not even like the logistics, I'm like I'm scared for the safety of me and my kid, because I was like, I'm responsible for this thing now, and I have, you know, it's just me. And so it was a really tough time for us. I think we were both physically exhausted. There was a little bit of this, you know, looking back, I think I would have probably spent more money to hire help, unfortunately, because we didn't have support. And we were like, oh, we're going to earn our stripes and do it ourselves. And we didn't have family close by, or my family close by. His parents were close by. I just think I needed more help and I didn't know how to ask for it. I didn't maybe have the resources at the time to pay for it. And it was really tough. And I would say the first year after having both of my kids, we really struggled. And I'm like super open about that. I'm like, we struggle. There were many times I was like, I don't need you. This is easier without you. You know what? And I remember reading this quote on like some kind of parenting book or account. And it was like, don't consider divorce until you've both been sleeping for 3 months uninterrupted every night. And I was like, okay, got it. And so like, we're, you know, very happily married. 10 years later, we still go through trials and tribulations. But I think that those early years were really hard for us, for both kids. And it, learning how to be parents and partners is something I think we have to continuously work on. It doesn't ever reach a point where we're like, we've made it. Right. We just had our 12-year anniversary. And I asked my husband, I'm like, so what do you think like our secret is to a happy marriage? And he's like, therapy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, me too.
That's so interesting. What can you say that again? It was the 3 hours of sleep or
no, don't consider getting a divorce until both people have been sleeping for 3 months uninterrupted.
3 months,
like, every night for 3 months uninterrupted.
Oh my gosh. That is so powerful, because we are so sleep deprived and we don't even realize it in these early phases. And that just wears on you. You become a totally different person through it. And to be alone 2 weeks with a 2-week-old baby, you are so right to say how afraid you are for the safety. I mean, we know how much we're going through. I mean, I remember the baby blues, the maybe postpartum depression, maybe not, like all of the things that you go through hormonally through these like first 6 weeks of time, and you're just alone after two. So I think you're seriously downplaying how horrible and hard this must have been on your relationship, because
no,
he's
it was
off
hard
sleeping.
Yeah, it was hard, and it wasn't like his fault. I mean, there was no leave.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's what's unfortunate is I remember being alone in the house, and I'm thinking, this system sucks. Like you know, you hear of all these other countries and places that have paternity and maternity leave. And I'm just like, do people know how unsafe this is? Do they know how scary it is? Do they know how unfair it is to like leave, you know, babies and moms unattended when you're literally still bleeding? If there was a medical emergency, I'm like, I don't even know how to handle it, you know? So it's a real downfall of our system. And I think when I think about pelvic health care and I think about my journey as a mom, a lot of it, unfortunately, is I think we feel like as moms as we're failing, or we didn't take enough care of our bodies, or we did something wrong. And I'm like, no, the system and the infrastructure is not there to help us be successful. It is not supporting us 100%. And I think as we continue to be louder and kind of fight for more change and be more vocal and authentic about the challenges of motherhood, I'm really hoping that it changes at some point. But yeah, it is really kind of the system of our country that has the systems or lack of systems in our country that really lead to, I think, making this experience hard for moms.
Yeah, it really is. So you mentioned therapy being so powerful for you. And I'd love to hear, through everything that you were battling with alone and battling with together with your husband, what were some of the things that were powerful that helped you reconnect with yourself? Was it time? Was it therapy, or was there something else that you feel like really made an impact on you?
I mean, all of it. I would say time is huge. Yeah. Therapy is also huge. I've always had kind of a therapist wherever I live. So we moved to New Orleans after my second kiddo. And one of the first things was like, I need to find a new therapist, mm-hmm. you know, because I know that I need someone to reach out to. I don't want to have to be in crisis mode to then find somebody. So it's always been helpful for me to kind of establish rapport in a relationship with someone. And I'm a talker, so I know that that's kind of something that I need to work through. I would say that actually, like, returning to work helped me. There was a mom I was talking to recently, and she was like, oh, my gosh, was it the worst thing? I was like, no, it wasn't. Yeah. Like, a lot of my passion and identity and connection with people is through my work and being with patients and having coworkers. And so that, to me, helps me kind of feel normal when I'm going through a tough time, or especially postpartum. And it also makes me focus on one thing. Like when I'm at home, I'm like changing laundry, checking my phone, you know, cooking a meal, catering to kids, whatever, or my brain has 1,000 tabs open. When I'm with a patient, I'm solely focused on one thing, and it's that patient in front of me. So it's a joy to be able to kind of have a practice where I do that, and I'm helping somebody else and taking the focus off of myself too. So, and I've met so many amazing women and moms kind of in that process who feel like comrades in the motherhood journey. So I think that has been a really kind of normalizing force for me.
That's really powerful to hear. Whether it's work or whether it's a creative outlet or a hobby or something else, like they're having just that passion that you have, whatever it might be. And maybe it wasn't the same passions you had before. Maybe it's something new, can really bring you back to life. Tell us about your book.
So Floored, A Woman's Guide to Pelvic Floor Health, comes out on June 10th. Depending on when you're listening to this, it's available for pre-order, and everyone who pre-orders gets 30 days of free pelvic floor workouts on my platform. And because I really want to make this accessible to people. I really want people just to kind of understand their bodies, but also like help their sisters, their moms, their daughters, you know, be able to have these conversations with their kids and help understand their bodies better. It goes through every age and stage from your first period to your last. So whether you're got a kiddo who's starting their period or becoming sexually active, whether you're perimenopausal or postpartum. And then there are individual chapters on like bladder health and sexual health and bowel health. So, you know, I always say read the first chapter and the last, and then go to the chapters that are relevant for you. But I think you'll really learn so much, hopefully find it a little funny, And then also feel less alone, because so many women experience these issues and they just don't know anyone else, or they're not talking about it. But it's very common. But I also want you to know that it's very treatable.
I am confident that your book is going to be not just a little funny, but highly relatable and very welcoming, and just really like you're hearing it from a friend, which is such a breath of fresh air. Tell us where we can find you.
So I'm on Instagram as The Vagina Whisperer. It's the.vagina.whisperer. And I'm on TikTok as The Vag Whisperer, because TikTok doesn't like the word vagina.
Okay.
And my website is thevaginawhisperer.com. I have a pre-order floor page on there that you can go to and check it out. And I'm coming to cities across the U.S. And then so there may be some events in your city. And then you can find out more about the pre-order goodies as well. And I really hope that this helps a lot of women. And I'm just really excited to share it with the world.
Well, it has been such a joy to get to know you as a person. And I can hear the passion for your work coming through. So I will have to have you back on the next episode to hear all about the work that you've done. And so you could teach us how to take care of ourselves too.
Thank you, Chrissy.
Now, don't go too far, because in the next episode, Dr. Sarah is coming back to do a deep dive into pelvic floor health, the everyday habits that we're doing to sabotage our recovery, the shame that keeps us silent, and exactly what you need to do to reclaim control of your body. Let's talk about how weirdly hard it is to make friends as a mom. You want real connection, not just surface level chats at the playground, but the thought of putting yourself out there is exhausting. You've tried texting someone, but then overthought it and never hit send. Or maybe you wonder if it's just too late, like everyone else already has their mom crew. If that's you, I made something just for you. It's called Making Mom Friends. It's a 4-week guided experience to help you rebuild your confidence and start making real friendships without faking it or forcing it. You'll get journaling prompts, copy and paste texts, low pressure invites, and a weekly rhythm to actually help you connect with zero pressure to be more outgoing than you are. It's not about becoming someone else. It's about finally feeling like you and trusting that that's enough. We start working together on June 3rd and doors close on June 2nd. You can head to the link in my bio to learn more and join us. Because making friends shouldn't feel like a guessing game, and you don't need to try harder. You just need a new way.